It's the morning after, a tough one for the Dallas Stars as they fall in Game 3, 5-2 to the Tampa Bay Lightning last night, the bubble in Edmonton. The man who was on the call along with Josh Bogorod is our man for talking hockey, Daryl Razor Ray, who joins us now on the ticket. Morning, Razor.
Good morning. That was a chore last night. That was
yes.
Work.
Yeah, yeah, that was a lot of work. You know, I had, even after they got down 2-0, I had some hope after they come back with a bit of a flurry and make it 2-1. But that second period, it's where everything fell apart for Dallas. And, boy, that I guess if nothing else, Tampa showed just how dangerous, and we knew this about them, but just 54 seconds into that second period is when the onslaught started. And the next thing you know, it's 5-1 and church.
Yeah, I mean, the genesis of a lot of the bad for the Stars in this series in the first three games can be traced right to penalties. And it was the same thing last night. They take a late first period penalty. And you're right. I mean, it felt like, okay, well, they're down, but they're certainly not out of this thing. And then they couldn't kill it off. They give up that power play goal in the first minute of the second period. And then they didn't seem to ever really recover. They took another penalty right away. It was Alexander Radulov again. And then they just got run over in the middle frame. They gave up three goals. I think they gave up 21. I think they got outshot 21-4 or something like that. And then you're chasing it. And the third period was grotesque at times, just because they were, the game felt like it was, okay, you got us. Let's just try to kill people for 20 minutes. The puck is not important. Let's just administer blunt force trauma for 20 minutes here, and then we'll move on to game four. So that's how it unfolded.
How surprised were you to see the captain himself, Steven Stamkos, return for the first time since February for Tampa? And boy, didn't he provide an emotional lift and a scoreboard lift for them.
Yeah, exactly that. You know when I, well, first to answer your question, I was a little bit surprised that he was inserted this early in the series. I thought, okay, you get to 4-5 here somewhere, maybe on the weekend upcoming where they have to play back-to-back games. But then, you know, rumors started to swirl that he looks like he's a go. He walked into the rink at 3:30 in the afternoon. You're like, okay, he's playing tonight. And the one thing that we could tell, Josh and I are sitting there in our little cubicle over in Las Colinas, and we have our monitors, and they have it fixated on the hallways where the players all line up before they come out for warm up. And there was just almost a giddiness in the hallway of the Tampa Bay Lightning with Stamkos coming down, and just anticipation. It just felt different. There was a different vibrance with them. And then he comes into the game. I mean, he only played in the first period. He only played about three shifts. He might have re-injured himself, but he scored again. And he's a guy who, no, it hasn't mattered through the years who's in net for the Stars or who's coaching the Stars or what's going on. He has averaged the most goals per game against the Dallas Stars in Dallas Stars history. And he gets in there, he plays, I think, five shifts or something last night, and scores a goal again. So it was an emotional and a productive lift for them. And then once they got their tail in the air and ahead, they never looked back. But I question whether he's going to play another game in this series.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, there were so many in a 5-2 game, you think, okay, you just got your butt kicked. But there were some moments that, had they gone Dallas's way, you wonder about it before we move on to game four. One of them was the sudden empty net situation where Radulov's stick ends up in Vasilevskiy's pad. That was weird. And then, but at the very beginning, in that first period, when they had a breakaway and it looked like Gerionov was going to have a chance to, you know, maybe do something tricky and just maybe backhand one in. There's that dang Hedman again, and he makes that play. He scores a goal. with all the firepower that Tampa has, he's the best that they have, isn't he?
He is. He's an anchor, you know, and that's what you're up against if you're the Stars. Look, they're not in trouble yet, but trouble's brewing. You can smell it, and you have Victor Hedman, who's a perennial Norris Trophy guy, as the best defenseman in the league. You have Vasilevsky in behind him in goal, who's a perennial Vezina Trophy guy, as the best goaltender in the league, and then they have all that skill up front. So there's a lot to overcome in this series. And last night, Hedman looked like the guy that is the best defenseman in the league most nights. And, you know, he was instrumental in their offense. He snuffed out that breakaway for Gurianov. It was just before the Kucherov goal. Again, we're all into the odds. It's a very Russian rich series, this one.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, he scores on that breakaway. Maybe it is a different game. You know, the Stars score first, and you know, you just start looking at numbers. I mean, they score first, it's a 50-50 proposition. The Lightning are 5-5 in the playoffs when the other team scores first, and they're now 11-1 when they open the scoring. So there was that, and then right after Jason Dickinson scored the shorthanded goal that cut the thing to 2-1, Corey Perry got just stoned in tight by Vasilevsky. And, yeah, you know, there's just little moments within the game. And I've said this repeatedly, it feels like, since the beginning of this series. I found myself quoting Jimmy Johnson and his old mantra that it's not how many great plays you make, it's how few bad ones you make.
Yeah.
And they seem to be making fewer bad ones than the Stars are making. It's certainly the last two games. And because of that, they have a 2-1 lead in this series.
Daryl Raiseray from the Stars Network with us here on The Ticket, breaking down Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. Speaking of bad plays, and not all of these penalties have been bad penalties, but you talked about it a couple of minutes ago, how in some ways the Stars are helping bury themselves with these penalties. How do you get away from that in Game 4 and moving forward in this series? How do you stop taking bad penalties when you know they're being told to stop it, yet they keep doing it? Is there an answer to that, or is this just kind of the situation they find themselves in against this particular team?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, because they've talked about it, but they're not doing it. You know, they got in penalty trouble in the third period of Game 1, got away with it. They got in penalty trouble early in Game 2, didn't get away with it. They got in penalty trouble early in the second period of Game 3, and they didn't get away with it. So I mean, they're not taking a whack of penalties, but obviously they're proving fatal in these games, and that seems to be more the discussion. Is their penalty kill has to be better, probably, than what it has been, because I think it's almost impossible to play perfect or clean. You're going to take penalties. Now, it's always better, and in their minds, there has to be almost like a rule going on. Look, if you're going to take a penalty, take a penalty where you either maim somebody on the other side, an important guy, or you're taking a scoring chance away from them. And that's not been the case. I mean, they're taking penalties in the neutral zone. They're, you know, 100 feet away from their own net. Those are the ones that seem like they're avoidable. And stick penalties, whether it's hooking or tripping or whatever, those are usually ones that Rick Bowness and the coaching staff will say, guys, get your feet moving. And guys are tired. There's no question that fatigue plays into this a little bit. But their MO has to be skate and frustrate instead of capitulate, which they've done a little bit in the last couple of games. I might rhyme and I might
like
a little bit of rap in after. Yeah. Yeah. Skate and frustrate. Don't capitulate. And yeah. But at the same time, like, they've had opportunities on the power play, and it's just, it seems like whether you have your critical execution game going or you don't. And they're not going to be able to play perfectly clean. It's the avoidable penalties, I think, that are the most frustrating, and they got to clean that up going forward.
Well, and as we talk about from time to time, and you don't want to dwell on it too much, but every team has their injuries, they're beat up, and especially if you make it to this point. But without Blake Como last night and Radek Foxa out, and now do you wonder if you're going to see Alexander Radulov tomorrow night?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he tried to take our little local boy Blake Coleman's head off in frustration and missed, and ran himself right into the end of the rink and left the game in the third period. So, you know, he's another guy. He's taken penalties, but at the same time, the passion and the production in past has come through. You know, he leads the team in game-winning goals, and he's been you know, just dynamite in overtime. So it would be just another critical guy pulled out of the lineup if he can't go. And you mentioned Foxa and Como, and that really stings in a series like this, because the Stars really need their checking game to be at their best, and it hasn't been. It was in game one. They shut down that top line of Tampa Bay, Point, Kucherov, and Palat. But since then, they haven't been able to stop them up as much. And it just feels like they're frayed a little bit in their identity, which is checking. If you look at these two teams in the regular season, Tampa Bay was the best high event hockey team in the league. They like games where there's plenty of goals scored in it, lots of stuff going on, and that's the way the last couple of games have sort of been played. The Stars are a low event team. Their success comes from goal suppression, and we've seen that. We certainly saw it in the series against the Golden Knights in the conference final. And they some way, somehow, even with this cobbled together lineup because of injuries, they have to find their way back to that again here on the weekend in games 4 and 5 in order to get this thing level and maybe even get ahead of the Lightning. That has to be their best asset going forward, not trying to outscore the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I have a rules strategy question for you. In the first period, the net behind Vasilevsky was dislodged. Tampa controlled the puck, and as soon as the Stars would touch it or gain control, they were going to blow play dead because the net was dislodged.
Right. Yep.
At that moment, because Tampa controlled the puck for quite a while after the net was dislodged, you know, maybe 45 seconds or so. I didn't put a stopwatch on it, but it was a long time. Are they allowed to pull Vasilevsky, put on an extra skater?
Yes.
And if so, why didn't they do that?
Yeah, well, I think guys get caught up in the game and they forget what's really going on. But I've seen it happen a couple of times where the goaltender does have that kind of awareness, or the bench is calling for him and he scrambles over there, and they play it just like a delayed penalty. Mm-hmm. Where goaltenders always go to the bench and you get an extra attacker out there, because there's no risk involved. As soon as the other team gets possession, they're going to blow it dead. And yeah, he probably should have. But there's, you know, goaltenders sometimes get a little narrow with their focus and they don't see the bigger picture. They didn't do it. It didn't turn into anything, but you're bang on. He should. You should always do that as a goaltender. You should be aware of that.
Speaking of goaltenders, Anton Hudobin has been so good this postseason. He's given up 8 goals now in his last 60 shots. There's no doubt he needed that rest in the third period. Is there any thought to trying the Bishop thing again tomorrow night, or is it ride or die with Hudobin?
Yeah, I mean, that started to bubble up immediately when Anton left the game and young Jake Oettinger mopped things up in the third period. I don't know where Ben Bishop is at with whatever's ailing him. He hasn't even backed up. He has practiced. He's been on the ice. And, man, could you imagine, though, if because they've got back-to-back games on the weekend, and the common theory on back-to-back games is that you can't play one goaltender in both of them, or you shouldn't. Analytics bear it out that you should play your other guy. Now, it's got to be a little bit different when you're in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're going to have a lot of time off in about a week, no matter whether you win or lose. And I don't know, but what a story. Like, could you imagine the storyline if all of a sudden it's like, hey, that's Ben Bishop's music. And here he comes, you know, walking down like this is WWE. And he gets inserted in there against his old team, the Tampa Bay Lightning. And he plays great. And in some way, somehow, they can't beat him. And the Stars go on to victory here. I mean, it would be folklore. It would be incredible if that happened. I don't know whether he can even get in or not, or if they do have to just ride with a guy that essentially got him to this point in Anton Khudobin. But the Tampa Bay Lightning have found ways to manufacture some offense against him that again, the Golden Knights couldn't do in the conference final, and they roasted him pretty good on the blocker side last night. It wasn't on Anton, but he wasn't as perky as he's been in the playoffs, and a little bit of mental and physical break for him there last night might bode well heading into this back-to-back set. If he has to play both of them, he has to play both of them. And he's a bit of a machine in that regard. I don't know that you can really wear down him or the guy at the other end. Vasilevsky's played every single second of their playoff run. Like, he's been in net for everything. He's a big horse. And they're going to ride with him on the weekend with back-to-back games as well. So it's a fascinating story, I think, to watch here in the last half of this series. Just what goes on in the Stars' net. Like, if Anton can keep going, if Ben Bishop is even close to coming back in. But look what Stamkos did for them and gave them a jolt in Game 3 last night. And, man, it would be a tough spot, though. For a goaltender and your timing and everything else, there's got to be rust. There's game rust. And who knows whether he can even get through a game with whatever's ailing him. So,
yeah.
We won't know until it happens. I do know that. Everyone's pretty tight with the information at this time of year.
I don't know. Bishop may be watching that, seeing Tampa's lineup, and go, that's all right. You can keep Anton in there. I'm good.
No, I know he's the polar opposite. He's like, man, I just put me in there. I'll stone him.
Yeah, I'm sure it's killing him to miss an opportunity like that. Well, it's interesting. That's for sure. No telling what's going to happen from game to game, and we'll see what happens in game number 4 tomorrow night right here on the ticket. And we'll listen to you, Razor. Thanks.
Yeah, it's must-winny. Must-winny, we call these.
Yep, very must-winny.
Yep. Okay.
All right, we'll see you, bud.
See you, boys.
That's the great Daryl Razor Ray.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.